In Unity, we talk a lot about the power of our thoughts. We are part of the New Thought movement, and so of course we do. You know, we talk about it, we practice it, we try to focus on our thoughts, but I'm going to suggest that our words are very important too. Very important. Rumi said this, "Raise your words, not voice. It is rain that grows flowers, not thunder." So I think that if we are Unity Truth students, if we are going to practice these five basic principles that we try to follow, then we need to do that. The third basic principle is the law of mind action. It is that we know that when we hold thoughts in our mind that they can manifest in our lives. But the fifth basic principle is one that we call walk your talk. The fifth basic principle is the one that says it isn't enough to know these principles. It is ours to practice them. So I think that one thing that we can do to do that is to be mindful of our words. There are so many ways that words are destructive toward others and toward ourselves. And our words are often right up there at the top, ways that we can be destructive. Words are way up there. How do we do that? Well, when we're angry, we lash out, don't we, to hurt? If we're hurt, then we hurt again. Blech, just falls right out. If we are insecure, sometimes we will share in gossip and so forth to be accepted by our peers. When we feel insecure, we can also begin to have negative self-talk. We waste our words when we are not mindful. I know people who talk all the time. So when you're with them, it's difficult to even get a word in edgewise. And often it's just, you know, just kind of a rambling narrative. Sometimes we're wasteful with our words, which can be hurtful sometimes too. We talked last week about vibrations, you remember? And how our thought vibrations are adding to the pool of energy that we all live in. Well, words do that too. And so the words that we speak are adding to this ocean of energy that we live in, that we get to choose. Once again, not only our thoughts, but maybe especially our words, because they are so very, very powerful. There is a better way. Bukeka Scholes mentioned the truth. You know, the truth will set you free. And I believe that the way to live mindfully, the way to keep from being a destructive force, is to speak our truth. Speak our truth. Words have great power. Great power. Who remembers the saying, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me"? Liar. They do too. I remember as a kid, I'd hear that, and then somebody would have said something that hurt my feelings. I'd think, "Oh, sticks and stones, I'm not hurt. I'm not hurt. I'm not hurt." But I was. You know, they have power, and especially when we love one another, the words have even more power sometimes. So yes, words can be very, very powerful. We hurt others. We hurt others by lashing out in anger. A story of one that I'm not particularly proud of, but it happened, so I'll share it with you. Back when I was married to my son's father, he could be cruel sometimes, and I remember he had said something. He was calling me what in essence was being a hick, because I was born in Southern Illinois and I apparently was a little sensitive about that. Anyway, he used that sometimes to, you know, get to me. And most of the time I got mad that time. And so I said, "If you think I'm a hick," and he had brought this god-awful plastic yucca plant into our house, into the bedroom, you know, so it was sitting in the bedroom, and I guess he likes it. I'm not going to say anything. You know, he likes it. Well, then when he started telling me that I was a hick, well, you think I'm a hick? I have never seen a more disgusting. So I lashed out, and he went inside the house. He grabbed that plastic yucca plant, and he brought it out, and he threw it in the back of his truck, and I never saw it again. I wasn't unhappy about that, but that isn't, even then, that wasn't like me to hurt. I hurt him. I know I did. I hurt him. We lash out in anger. Gossip. Sometimes we like a good gossip, don't we? but gossip can be very, very destructive. It is, if you had five people sitting around in a circle and three of the people didn't know someone, the other two did, and they start with did you hear what, the gossipy stuff? Those three people are influenced greatly by what is said. And sometimes people will look into what is said to check it out to see if it's factual or not, but often they won't. So when that seed of suspicion, that seed of distrust, that seed of criticism is planted, often it stays there. So gossip can be very, very destructive. Idle conversation. How about those cards? Or, boy, it's raining so hard today. Idle conversation is not a bad thing. I'm not saying that. But sometimes, if you're with someone that you care about, if all you're doing is talking about surface stuff, it can be very distancing. It can feel like this person doesn't care enough, doesn't trust me enough to tell me real stuff, doesn't share. No, it's you can tell when somebody is being authentic, and if they stay, if they won't go deeper, if they won't talk to you about what's going on with them, about what they think, about what they feel, it can feel distancing, which is destructive to a relationship. I had an amazing experience this week. We did not have surface conversation. I went to California early Wednesday morning, and I spent, well, it ended up being 3.5 days. It was supposed to be 2.5, but that's flight stuff, and that's another story for another time. But a dear friend, classmate of mine, has been diagnosed with terminal cancer. So another friend, classmate, Wendy, and I went to see and spend time with Lenny. It was amazing. It was wonderful and horrible. We laughed and we cried and we walked on the beach and we ate ice cream. And we did a lot, but mostly we talked. And we could have done kind of a platitude thing. We could have talked, well, you know, it's all going to be good in the end. We could have done that. We didn't do that, though. You know, we all know that stuff. What we did do was we talked about how it was for each of us being in that situation, knowing that that could be the last time we're going to see Lenny in this lifetime. We listened as Lenny told us how it was to be living with this diagnosis. He described it as surreal. I can't even imagine how that was for him. But we had the most incredible conversations. We cried, and we laughed, and we ate ice cream, and then we cried. It was amazing. And what has come from that? I mean, we have been prayer partners for 15 years. We were a trio. We call ourselves the Three Musketeers. And so we had been close all this time, and we've been praying together for 15 years, and we've regular connection with phone mostly, because Wendy's in Denver. But these 3 days, it was almost like a magic slice of time, because those conversations, those real words, those authentic, loving words bound us together and deepened our bond. I didn't even think it could be, but it was. It was amazing. We have opportunities every day, you know, to talk with our loved ones. And I think it's important to speak from the heart. When it's time to talk about the cardinals, you can do that. But be open to being with your people, with your people. We can hurt ourselves with, or others with our destructive words, and we can especially hurt ourselves. Who is aware of the self-talk that goes on? Yeah, many of us are. For me, it goes almost constantly. And I'm not even, just like if you lived, I used to live in Overland, and you got used to being in the airplane path, you know, you got so you didn't hear it anymore. That's kind of the way it is with the self-talk. It's just always there, so I don't even hear it often. But it's always there. I think it's a good idea to kind of stop and listen to what is being said. I talk to myself out loud. I pretend like I'm talking to the dogs, but really I'm... Sometimes I'm just sort of hashing things out. I'm just, you know, I don't think that worked very well. Next time, you know, I'm just blah, 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 talking to myself. But sometimes the talk, maybe you can relate, sometimes the talk is, why did I do that? That was really stupid. I wish I had said this. I wish I had done that. Critical stuff. I dreamed up this class when I was in my first church in Texas, and I called it, I think, spiritual dieting, I believe, something like that. I made it up, you know, but it was an intent, not dieting in the sense of, you know, which foods we're going to eat at what time, but more dieting in terms of what is our relationship to food, you know, what makes us want to eat, what, you know. And it was, you know, mildly successful, but I realized one of the exercises that we did that was very powerful, all of us, including me, was I asked us to each take some time, some paper, and dialogue with our bodies. And, you know, it kind of sounds sort of woo-woo-ish when you first say that, really. How can you do? But it was amazing. I found out as I started writing, you know, I had some questions. I don't remember what they were now, but I had questions, and so everybody had the same questions. You'd look at the question, and then you would ask the question, and then your body would answer. So you would write out the body's answer. My body was incredibly angry with me. I know, and it was feeling like you say you're going to do this, and you don't do this. It was, you know, I got through it. Who knew that was in there? You know, but it was very, very helpful. So this self-talk that we do, I think, can really give us a good insight on how loving and supportive we're being of ourselves. What words are we saying? One last point on that. Often I think that the critical voices that we hear inside are the internalized version of what we've heard when we were young. You know? So if someone important to us, not necessarily our caregiver, but maybe, but if someone important to us said something critical or negative about us to us when we were children, it's not unusual for us then to take that in and believe it, and then it becomes our own voice. It becomes our own critical voice. Now, the spiritual masters tell us how important our words are. Here in Unity, we attempt as best we can to follow the teachings of Jesus Christ. We try to look at what Jesus taught and then to follow that. We consider Jesus our role model, our teacher, master teacher. And if you read through the Gospels, you're going to find a lot of examples of what Jesus said. If you look at them just from the kind of a analytical place, granted, you know, nobody was taking dictation, so we don't know exactly what he said, but everything that got recorded shows that Jesus was concise, he was decisive, he was fair, he was loving, he was just, he used his words constructively, he used them mindfully, and he used them powerfully. And we have a number of very core teachings, I think, from him that help us to understand the importance of our words and what we can do with those. So when he was asked, "Teacher, what is the most important commandment?" And he answered, "Well, the most important is love God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength." And a second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's right up there. We are to love ourselves. We are to love each other. There was a cartoon. I love Facebook. I just get so many ideas. Something came through on Facebook, and it showed Jesus, and he had said, you know, this, love one another. And then there were some people around, and one said, well, what about the Muslims? What about the this or the that? And at the bottom, he says, did I stutter? Love one another. So he's very clear. This is what we are to do. He also said, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. Believe whatever you ask for in prayer. There's that power of the spoken word. Believe it. Say it. Believe it. And it's yours. And then the golden rule, Matthew 7:12. In everything, do to others as you would have them do to you, for this is the law and the prophets. Pretty clear. Pretty clear. Then we have our unity greats, Fillmore, Charles and Myrtle Fillmore, the co-founders. They really put a lot of emphasis on spoken word, on what you said, what you say. Myrtle, if you read Myrtle Fillmore's healing letters, there are places in there where she, in a very sweet way, is kind of scolding even. You know, if somebody has written in, and she'll gently and lovingly scold them for saying negative things to themselves. So they were very adamant that words are very powerful. The old time unity people wouldn't even say how old they were. You know, if you ask them, how old are you? They wouldn't tell you. Because they didn't want the energy going into some number. They didn't want that to be the reality. You know, it's just a number. Very, very strong with words and the power of them. Butterworth was another one. Emily Cady, I love, in the introduction to, I think it's How I Use Truth, I believe, she tells a story about how she was a physician, and she, very spiritual, and at one point she decided that she was going to give her services, not require payment for those services, and so she started out doing it, and she did it, and she wasn't receiving money, you know, she was expecting, and she would pray and say, God, you know, I thought that I would be given what I need. In one place she said it had been a couple years, and she was, I loved her wording, I was faint for want of food. So bless her heart. So in prayer she said, what more do I need to do? What's happening? And so she got this scripture that popped in her head. It was, and God said, let there be light. And she writes, now I'm using my own expressions and stuff, but she writes that she was like, what? But the more she chewed on that, the more she thought about it, and God said, let there be light, the word said became more and more pronounced, and God said, let there be light. So then she realized the power of the spoken word. And sure enough, then she claimed, she spoke out loud her prosperity, the truth, that she was a prosperous being and had all her needs met, and it happened. And what she wrote then afterwards was that never was a problem ever again. Pat, words are so, so very powerful. Don Miguel Ruiz, I absolutely love the book, The Four Agreements. Yeah. And the first one is be impeccable with your word. And when he says that, he's saying, use your words constructively. A lot of great people have said that that's important. So it is time to be aware. It is time to be mindful, not just of our thoughts, but of our words. As Bukeka said, we are to speak the truth, truth with a capital T, to yourself and to others. So what is this truth? Truth is that we are creations of God. We are beloved of God. We have in our DNA life and energy and wisdom. We have those attributes of our Creator, That's truth. And so when we can speak that for others and for ourselves, it becomes constructive. It becomes a living thing, a growing thing. I don't know about you, but I was very moved as I watched Michael Gott saying these beautiful words to the minister that he was praying or honoring. Just a little bit of how can I do this? Wendy and Lenny told me about a Hawaiian reconciliation and forgiveness process. Maybe some of you have heard the expression ho'oponopono. Anybody heard that? Yes. I've heard it several times, but I kind of was as a ho'oponopono. I don't know what that is. Ho'oponopono. And what it means is, I'm sorry, I love you, please forgive me, thank you. Those four things. Now, imagine if you can say that to someone that you love. I'm sorry, I love you, please forgive me, thank you. I'm getting goosebumps. Imagine what that can do for the relationship. There are no walls there. There is no pretense. There is just openness and love. And you can do that with yourself. Lenny and Wendy both have been using that for themselves. Lenny's cancer is in his liver, and he said he has been doing that with his liver. I'm sorry. I love you. Please forgive me. Thank you. Myrtle Fillmore did a version, you know, her own version of that, and healed herself of tuberculosis. They called it consumption back in the day. She went in and she blessed her body. She blessed the organ. She blessed and affirmed the life that was coursing through her. We can do it. I'm sorry. I love you. Please forgive me. Thank you. We can use our words constructively. For everyone, know the truth, speak the truth, and what you say will always be a source of love, a source of power, a source of peace in this world. Let's practice. I invite you to get settled in your seat. To gently close your outer eyes if you are willing and able. And to move our attention and our awareness away from the outer and become present here, we turn our focus, our attention to our breath. So just for this moment, focus on the breath. Feel what it's like to bring that breath into your body. Notice how your clothes feel tighter when your chest expands. Notice on the exhale how it feels for that release. Breathe in again deeply and slowly. Hold and release completely. Keeping your attention on the breath, we also mindfully relax our bodies. We imagine that as we breathe in, we are infilling ourselves with love and peace and joy. And as we exhale, we are releasing anything and everything that is not for our highest good. We breathe in, we are filled with love. We exhale and we release and shed anything that is no longer useful. We release and let go of any old ideas about limitations that we might have. We release and let go any judgments of ourselves and others. as we breathe in, love and peace infuse us from that center of our beings. And we recognize from this heart space that actually everyone is doing the best they can with what they know and where their minds are. We don't have to love everything that people do. We don't have to accept everything that people do. But we can accept everyone, every single person, as a child of God, a beloved creation that is capable of amazing things. And as we see that in each person, as we acknowledge that in each person, it becomes more of a reality. We are strengthening that with the power of our thoughts, and if we say anything, with the power of our words. We release any ideas of our own lack or limitation. We release any resentment or anger that we may have held on to for who knows how long. We let it go. It doesn't matter. And instead, we turn our attention, our thoughts, and our words to those things that support us, those things that grow us, those things, those people, those situations that cause us to express more of who and what we really are. Right now, we begin to consider the magnificence of our beings. Consider your body. It doesn't have to be told when to breathe, when the heart is to pump, when it's not. We don't have to tell our eyes to see, our ears to hear. There's this magnificent temple that we live in called our body. What a gift. As we choose, we begin to honor our bodies, seeing and realizing and affirming and praising the amazing bodies that they are. We accept what we see in the mirror because it is housing us. And we set an intention to love that body, to nurture that body, to support that body with our actions and with our words. We know that what we have inside us, we can see in other people. And so as we experience this self-acceptance, this self-love, then we can share that with others. We can accept others as they are. We can love others as they are. So this morning, we sit relaxed, aware that we are one with our Creator, aware of the power of the presence within us, awed by the power, humbled by the power, and grateful for the power. And as we do each week, we take a few moments in silence to be one with our Creator, to feel the peace and love and joy and wisdom and abundance, all those attributes that are of our Creator, we experience those as we experience our oneness. And we do that now in the silence. It is in these regular times of connection, these times of quiet, that we are renewed, that we are filled with peace, that we are open and receptive to wisdom and guidance. It is in these times of connection that we are made better able to go into our lives and the busyness and the hectic activities and the negativity and remain centered and remain peaceful. And we continue to add our thoughts and our words and make ripples in this ocean of energy that we live in. And we send out our thoughts and words of peace and love, and we make a difference. We become the light of the world. We are grateful for so many blessings, grateful for these awarenesses, grateful to have this opportunity to live life to the fullest, to be expressions of the Christ as best we can. So in our love and in our gratitude, we close this time of contemplation by coming together to affirm the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.